Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello to everybody out there tuning in today. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in, either now or in the future, to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. I'm intending that wherever you are out there, that you are safe, healthy, and happy, and that your family is as well. I know these are interesting times that we find ourselves in, and, you know, just grateful to be able to have wonderful guests like our guest today, who I'll introduce you to here in a moment, Chris Dyer, who can help us find ways to navigate these new circumstances that we find ourselves in. But before I introduce you to Chris, first I want to thank you, of course, for tuning in. And I also want to thank our sponsors, the people over at Markham Search LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, including staffing for temporary services, payroll services, and regular contingency search. Today we have with us on the show Chris Dyer. Chris is a recognized performance expert. Constantly intrigued by what makes some businesses and individuals more successful than others, Chris has dedicated years of research to uncovering what drives productivity and profits. As a sought-after speaker and consultant, Chris works with leading organizations to help them transform their cultures to boost performance and gain an even greater edge in the marketplace. A certified Scrum Master, Chris is highly adept at helping teams work through obstacles and find solutions quickly and effectively. He leverages this experience in all aspects of his work. Chris is the author of The Power of Company Culture, which was released in 2018. He is also the founder and CEO of People G2, a background check company, which is made up of an entirely remote team of workers that has appeared on the Inc. 5000 list of the fastest growing companies. A passionate talent manager enthusiast, Chris is the host of Talent Talk, a popular business podcast that features interviews with top executives about their strategies for hiring and promoting talent. Chris strongly believes in community involvement, and he is active with a number of organizations. He regularly serves as a judge at entrepreneurial showcases and contests, such as Miller Lite Tap the Future. Additionally, he runs two book clubs for senior level and HR professionals in Southern California. In his free time, Chris enjoys traveling with his wife and kids and playing live music with his band. He currently resides in Orange County, California. Thanks so much for joining us today, Chris.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Well, before we dive into this whole concept of remote work and how you did it so successfully and pioneered this over 12 years ago now, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your journey and your story and how you became an expert in leadership, culture, and human resources?
Well, I sort of did it by mistake. We decided to take our organization remote back in 2009 when the last sort of big economic crisis was upon us. And we did it, though, for financial reasons. We did it to save money. We did it to keep our people. And by total accident, we figured out that it was a better way to work, but also figured out that our culture and how we operate was completely sort of built, building on sand. It just, our foundation was not good. And when you go remote, it really puts a lot of pressure on you to have a better culture, to have a better way to communicate, to really know how you measure people. All these really important things become really, really important. And so I had to start diving into that. And I was always interested in it, but I didn't realize how, if I went just a little bit deeper, how much better things could be, how much happier my employees could be. And so I just kind of became addicted to it and then began talking about it and speaking about it. And that's just, you know, some of the best things in life are sort of, we stumble upon them by accident.
I completely agree. Well, you must be a very busy man right about now, Chris. I'm sure a lot of people around the world are seeking your expertise. So your phones must be ringing.
Yeah, I've been on, I don't know, maybe 30-something podcasts or meetings from, you know, NHS in the UK to IKEA to, I mean, I just, you name it, from small groups to big groups. It's been There's been a lot of fear and a lot of questions and anxiety, and I certainly find myself in lucky, if that's the right word, to be able to be here to provide some bit of reassurance and information to those that are kind of freaking out a little bit right now.
Yeah, I think it's all of the uncertainty, and especially for a lot of corporations, we're taught, at least I was, we need to be able to control things and control workflow and manage workflow. So let's talk about this for a minute. Let's just dive right in. In this time where certainly nothing is foreseeable, every day is, it's like Groundhog Day, but really not, because everything is a little bit new every day, and we're figuring out moment by moment how to navigate these changes, both at the corporate and the individual level. What would be some immediate advice that you would give to a leader out there who may have team members who are working remotely? It could be 3 people or 300 people. What are some tools that they might be able to implement to maintain a sense of unity within the organization at this time?
Yeah, so there's a few things. And I'm going to go on the assumption here that most people that might want this type of advice, they're new to remote, or they're not used to having their whole team remote. I mean, those that have been sort of experts at it, there's maybe a different answer for that. But for those people that find themselves here, this is a fairly new thing. There is a difference in how we operate. So if you were at one particular office and you were used to walking down the hall and talking to people, and communication sort of flows in a different way in that environment than it does when everybody's at home. So the first thing that I've been telling leaders to do is to stop having one-on-one meetings. Now, there are sometimes when you can do that, right? You should have that. If you have a weekly review with a direct report or weekly coaching session, that's different. Fine, keep doing that. But all of your other conversations need to be in group. They need to be 5 to 7 people, because that's how you're going to facilitate this knowledge, communication, excitement. Everything that you want to come out of that needs to be done in small group now, because you've lost what you once had, which was walking around the office and having informal sort of conversations and letting the information pass through the water cooler and at the lunch table and things like that. And what you're going to find out is it's a way better way to meet with people. Now, that being said, you need to then really curate your meetings. And what I mean by that is that you cannot just show up and meet for some indefinite amount of time, as many times as you want. You can't expect people to keep showing up to meetings and they don't know what they're showing up for or for how long or what's expected of them. You may be meeting more now all of a sudden that you're in a remote situation. So we have little names for all of our different meetings. We have cockroach meetings and ostrich meetings and tiger team meetings. And those indicate to everybody, what type of meeting am I coming to? So a cockroach meeting is a 15-minute, very quick meeting. We always start meetings on time. We always try to end them early. And it's a one-topic conversation, one-topic meeting. We would never start to talk about something else during that meeting, because we've basically created this contract, right, with our people that if you show up to this meeting, it's going to be no more than 15 minutes of your time, and we're only going to talk about this one thing. So we have about 35 of those a day happening in our organization, and they're an average of 8 minutes long. And that's how they quickly communicate with each other. Those meetings are also optional. Cockroach meeting is optional for people to show up to. So they show up if they can, they show up to help, but they don't, they're not mandatory if they've got something else going on. So whereas the kind of opposite of that might be a tiger team meeting, that's at least an hour or two, is going to have a longer agenda. People know they're going to be showing up with research or, be prepared to talk about something. So it's a totally different feel to how you're going to meet. And I can't tell you how many managers, when I explain this to them, they go, oh, and you could just kind of hear it in their voice. They've been having 30 minute meetings since they went remote. And they're wondering why they're so slow now. So there's a way to speed up and to change how you're meeting with your people.
Got it. Okay. And so what I'm hearing you say is it's important to set clear expectations and to set a cadence for how this is going to look for people and give people kind of a semblance of a system, if you will. So you have the tiger team, which is the longer, you have the cockroach, which is the short, quick meeting. And how do you determine, like, if you don't mind, how many people do you have working for your company and how many did you start with?
Yeah, so right now I have 35 full-time people that are sort of the initial heart of the organization that I sort of have some sort of touch on every day. But we also have 3,000 independent contractors that are inside of the same system we're operating with. So this is very scalable. And originally, we sort of, when we went remote, we were really only focused on our core group in really thinking about them being involved in these meetings and being a part of our culture. And so that was 20-something. And then we started expanding this and expanding, and now it sort of runs. You know, those people are doing some bit of part-time business for us. And so, but they, depending upon what they do and how much they do it, they're in those meetings and they're involved in what we're doing. And they have that same sort of feeling just on a limited basis.
So let's talk for a moment about productivity. I know you just mentioned that a lot of people may feel like their productivity is slowing down significantly because you're having too many, perhaps, mini meetings. How can somebody, depending on the sort of system and the structure of the organization and what the organization does, how can you increase or even monitor productivity? Is that even something that's attainable when you have hundreds or thousands of remote workers?
Yeah, so I'm going to just sort of skip over the legal questions about this, about tracking people's time. And, yeah. You know,
we'll leave that to the labor attorneys. That's for your labor counsel.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm going to talk more about the touchy-feely human stuff. My number one problem with my remote employees is they work too much. So I have the opposite problem. There's no, like bell or whistle going off like on the Flintstones. There's no, you know, traditional start and end time. People could just keep working. And because they are at home and they don't have a commute, they don't need to get up and drive to go home to pick up their kids or whatever, they will keep working, much to their credit. And I appreciate it, but they work too much. And that's the biggest thing we have to coach them about, is not to do too much and not to overwork, because we don't want that from them. And there are legal ramifications to that as well, but there's the human part of it, just a burnout. So, you know, the productivity side of it, it really is a good thing when you are remote, because you have this time to sit and think, and no one bothers you. No one's coming over to your cubicle every 5 minutes. You don't have someone making annoying sounds. No one's burning popcorn in the microwave or reheating day-old fish. You don't have these, and you know, humans are pretty annoying to be around on a regular basis. And when you go remote, you realize how much has been removed of all of these sort of things that get in your way every day of getting your work done. And so, you know, we first went remote 2 weeks after that. Every single person in my company called me on the phone and said, you know, I wasn't sure about this, but this is the best thing we've ever done. I can't believe how much work I'm getting done. I can't believe how much better I feel at the end of the day. I don't feel stressed. I don't feel, have that normal feeling that I used to have. And they said, I don't know if it's because I get more work done or if it's because I don't have to drive in traffic or whatever it is, I'm already feeling happier and healthier. And that's a really important factor. So you have to kind of curate, as we talked about before, but really it's about how can I energize and motivate my people, and how do I create the right space for them? And that's, you know, and listening to what they really need. That's kind of the biggest thing you can do as a leader.
You know, I'm going to play devil's advocate with you here for a moment, Chris, because I can hear the voice in many of our listeners' heads saying, well, you don't have four kids at home. I have multiple friends and business associates and people. I think this is a very specific situation to this scenario that we find ourselves in during this time, where it's one thing to work remotely when you don't have your dog and the kids and whoever else is in the house in a very confined space. Is there specific workarounds that you or your team have found now that we find ourselves in condensed spaces, often with 2, 3, 4, 5 people sharing the same space, unexpectedly having to co-work, and also even for the people who have children, maybe even studying and trying to simultaneously do homeschooling? Is there any advice or anything that you've noticed with regards to that in the last few weeks?
Sure. And that's a great question, because it has changed things a little bit. Whereas in the past, my people were going home and being able to work in peace and quiet. Now in these scenarios with kids being home and spouses being home or whatever it may be, there are lots of challenges. So your challenge could be that you live in an apartment and maybe you don't have a dedicated space. Maybe you can't, you know, possibly find a place where you can have peace and quiet for a call. So, you know, those are challenges and things you have to really think through. And we've had people that will make really important client calls, like in the bathroom, if they have to, if they are in an apartment. Where can you find a quiet space when you absolutely have to? It used to be you could go to a Starbucks, or you could go, you know, that is a new wrinkle, a new challenge here. But what we do really help people think about is that you can't do all things all the time. And so part of your preface that you talked about trying to work and homeschool, you can't do those things simultaneously. Your work will suffer, the kids will suffer. So what I suggest is that you think about this in blocks of time, and you're going to have to really work with if you have a spouse. If you don't, if it's just you, then you're going to figure out how you can manage this. But in an ideal situation, you run hard for 45 minutes and you have your head down and you do your work, and then you get up, and if it's for 15 minutes or 30 minutes, then you got to go and switch gears and then become teacher now for your kids and sit and help them and move them along, and then get up and then come back and do your work. Or if you have, you know, a spouse there, and you guys can break it up a few hours apart. So we are allowing far more flex time. We've always allowed flex time, but we're really allowing it to greater extent. So if people need to work at totally different times than they normally do, we're being okay with that, because we understand they may need to be mom or dad from a certain time, and then they have to split that with somebody else. And where I'm seeing the frustration is that people are trying to do all these things at the same time, and it's just not possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that we're all up against right now, is trying to be superhuman, and we're judging ourselves and judging our neighbors and judging our colleagues, when in reality, we're in uncharted territory, just trying to take it one breath, one project at a time. And I think it's definitely an opportunity for compassion. I think the important thing right now for any of us in a leadership or in a colleague situation or in a spousal situation or even a roommate, we have to have buckets of compassion for ourselves and for the people in our lives right now, and just keep realizing that we're going to have to re-navigate. It's kind of like that Google Maps redirecting. We are redirecting. It's like a constant redirect all the time. You know, I would love to get your 2 cents on things like, I think it's called Slacker, or, you know, a lot of these instant messaging features that there are out there right now. Would you say those are going to help or hinder companies that are 100% remote at this time?
Absolutely help. So whether you're using Slack or Microsoft Teams, even just Google Hangouts or whatever it may be, you need to have a place. So I love Slack because there's so many things you can plug into it. You can make it do all these things. But at a very basic level, you have rooms for teams, and you can make them private. So those, your teams, your customer service team, your sales team, your marketing team, whoever, they can go in and collaborate together in a room that's private, just amongst their team. They can, you know, post files and videos and documents and things there so that everyone can go and see them or reference them. It's a great repository. We also can have one-on-one, so you can just send someone a quick note, or maybe they asked you for something. But it's a great way of, hey, I need this file, and someone says, great, I'll send it to you, and you can directly send it, and now it's there for you if you ever don't remember that you had it, instead of trying to look for it on your computer or in some file system on your company. But we also use that as a place. We have a water cooler room, and that's where we say thank you to people. We congratulate them. We talk about our kids. We have trivia once a week on Thursdays. You know, it's where we sort of, as a company, operate together as a whole. And then we can use those other channels sort of for small group communications. And I find that, you know, we do very little email in our company internally. We're certainly emailing with clients and for sales and things like that. But internally, we're really inside of Slack. And that is much more effective and far easier to do. So that's a great solution to think about it. You really need to go back and ask your employees, what do you really need right now? What's your biggest challenge? In fact, I just today asked my executive team, what challenges are you having? And for each person, we found solutions, and some were technical, some were things they didn't remember we could do, and some were extremely practical. I mean, one person on my executive team, she said, my biggest problem is that my kids keep coming into my office. She's got two little ones, and her spouse is trying to work. So I said, what would be the biggest thing to help you right now? She says, honestly, I just need a lock for my door, but I can't leave the house and I don't want to get anybody sick. And I said, okay, problem solved. I went on Amazon, I bought her a lock and sent it to her house. We'll be there tomorrow. Mm. And so it's just a matter of listening to what your employees need. And then you as a leader thinking about how can I help them with this instead of trying to figure out what they need without asking them, right? And trying to do too much without getting their input.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. And I think it's about, to your point, communication. I think what's really critical in this sort of a situation is that we all have the opportunity to fine-tune and finesse our communication style by asking questions rather than assuming, you know, assuming, especially with 100% remote workforce, can get us all in hot water very quickly. But what you did, which was great, is that you got curious and you asked open-ended questions. Well, have you thought of this? And I think that's something that I've noticed personally from leaders who I've worked with makes a great leader is somebody who does that and asks those questions that causes you to come up with a solution rather than get caught in the muck of the problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so one of the last things I wanted to touch on with you today, Chris, is the idea of people who, you know, I remember years ago, I'd had a guest on the show who talked about chaos tolerant versus non-chaos tolerant people. And there are some people who, just for whatever reason, whether you want to call it chaos tolerant, not chaos tolerant, Myers-Briggs, some people might be more comfortable working remotely than others. I know for myself, you know, I was always very pro people with their families and supporting people who had young children. And I had a series of employees who I worked with. And for most of them, it worked very well when we did remote working, you know, 10 years ago myself. But for some of the employees I had, they literally said, I can't motivate myself to work. It wasn't necessarily I have a kid and I can't motivate. It's that I need the social interaction and that's what gives me energy. Is there any, have you noticed that, A? And B, is there a workaround or something that you found to give the people who like the social interaction the energy they need?
Yeah, so for talking about the social part of it, your extroverts needing that connection and that time as a part of their life. I typically find that it's not that they need it at work to be motivated. They just need it and work is where they were getting it. And so when we hire those kinds of people, we try to remind them and coach them and talk about, you need your social stuff. That's really important, but you're going to have to find it somewhere else. It's going to have to be in a club or dinner parties or some other activity, hobby, something else that you do, and you're going to have to undo it from work. Because work was just the easiest place for them to do it, to go and be a people person and walk around and get all that. But the second part is that I talked about those meetings before. We have so many meetings in those, and they're very effective and they're curated in a very specific way that those types of people get that interaction at our company. I mean, we're all on video. We show up for, you know, a 15-minute meeting to help solve a problem. Everyone's talking, communicating, and some jokes. We feel very, very connected. Very connected. I mean, my active engagement levels, we've had Walden University come in and study us. And, you know, our people say they feel connected. 90 percentiles of these, the types of things that you would think wouldn't be there. And we have a good mix of introverts and extroverts. But they need to just get it in a new way. And if they can't, then you got to coach them to go get it somewhere else. It's super important.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think it's just about knowing and getting your own needs met, because so often we look externally for getting our needs met in one shape or form or another. So Chris, I would love to know, are there any other little hacks, for example, Slack you talked about? I know I recently discovered Trello for our leadership team for a different group. And I love that Trello allows you to manage projects remotely and very quickly loop people in. Are there any other remote working software programs that you would highly recommend?
Yeah, so Slack or Microsoft Teams. For project management, we really like Basecamp or Monday. Those are great. Certainly, if you're, everyone's probably heard about this now, but I mean, you can use Zoom. They have some really great free resources. If you want to pay, you get even more. You can use GoToMeeting as well. You know, and of course, there's free stuff. I mean, you can use Google Hangouts, and those types of things can be really helpful. One thing that has been kind of fun is this. So often remote work, you're sort of in the same time zone or maybe a couple time zones, and that's manageable. Some of people may suddenly find themselves, you know, in remote situations, and the time zone thing has really changed. And maybe because people are being quarantined, they can't work their hours they were used to working. And so you may not be able to have those live interactions with people as much. We use an app sometimes called Marco Polo.
Marco Polo
allows you to send a one-way video message. You just record the message, and then it sends it to, you know, the person. And when they are ready, when they're online or they're ready to watch your message, they can watch it, and then they could send you a video back. And that's been pretty effective for a lot of teams who – I see a lot of my digital nomad friends, people who sort of work and live wherever they want, and they're all over the world. And so they're not collaborating in real time often. They're sort of each jumping in at different times of the day and doing work. That's a big help for them to, when they wake up, they watch their Marco Polos. Now they're caught up. They got to see the person. They felt connected to them, and they respond to them on video, and then they go do their work. So that's a fun one too.
Oh, I love that. In fact, it's funny you bring that up. Some of my friends are going through quarantine, and as a way to stay connected, since obviously, you know, happy hours and that sort of thing aren't happening as much, then they've been using Marco Polo even just as a fun social way to stay connected. So I think it's a great tool, and I'm so happy that you brought that to everyone's attention.
We've been doing a thing we jokingly call hashtag dinner with the Dyers. So my family's been having dinner with another family every night. Just on our computers at our dinner table and having, because, you know, I'm a card character, so I'm like, I need my people, and I'm sick and tired of my own family being cooped up with them. So we bring a different family, you know, to our dinner table, and we have dinner with them, which has been a really good way, again, to, I have to get my needs met as an extrovert, and that's how we've been doing it. It's really been fun.
Well, Chris, you are full of so many wonderful ideas, and I know that there have been wonderful gems of wisdom, and I'll certainly be sharing this interview with all of my clients and friends out there who can use this information to navigate this. I think whether you're a leader in a business or an employee trying to figure this out for yourself, hey, how can I be more effective and learn to acclimate? I think you've given some really beautiful points and pearls of wisdom today. So was there anything I didn't get to ask you, or any tips or takeaways that you would love people to walk away from today's show with?
You know, the only other thing I was going to mention as we talked about tools, and it's a pretty effective one. Often when you are remote, people need tech support, you have a certain amount of training. We have found the system called Vidyard, V-I-D-Y-A-R-D, to be really, really effective. Vidyard allows you to go on, and you can get a free account, and you can record your screen. It's like a Google Chrome extension. You can record your screen and your voice, and if you want your video, which we suggest, and show someone something. This is how you do something. Or if they say, I don't know how to do something, or I need tech support, or this thing keeps popping up on my screen, you can record it. And it's really awesome because you're getting the video. You can actually see what they mean. You can see their face, and then you just send them a link. You're not uploading a video anywhere. It's not, you know, it's very, very easy to do. And I think that for a lot of people could be just an absolute saving grace, because it's hard to then, especially if you're working with someone who's not that used to being technical, not that used to computers. To try to get them to set up a screen share is a whole other thing. But a Vidyard video is very, very easy. And you could just use a quick link and it'll tell you if they watched it or not. But I'll tell you, my new employees tell me they love those Vidyard videos because they get to watch them as many times as they need to watch them. And they don't have to feel stupid coming back and asking someone to explain something again, because we often don't hear it as well as we think we do the first time. But if you're, oh, I don't remember how to do that, you can go back, watch that video anytime they need to and not feel like they're not getting the support they need.
I love that. And say that one more time. It's Vidyar, V-I-D-Y-A-R?
Y-A-R-D, Vidyard.
It's almost like Vidyard.
The word video. Yeah, so much with the word video and the word yard, like playing in your yard. So Vidyard.
Perfect. I love that. Wow, Chris. All right. Well, you are now officially my go-to expert, all things remote work, among other things. So let us introduce you to everybody else out there and be their expert as well. Where can people find information about you and get all of this wonderful information you've been sharing?
Yeah, and I do webinars every month. So if you go to my website, Chris, the letter P like Patrick, Chris P. Dyer, D-Y-E-R, you can sign up there for my newsletter. You'll get notified. If you connect with me on LinkedIn, I'm happy to accept. And if you ask, send me a note through there or the website that you would like. We just did a big webinar on remote work, and it has all of the stuff we talked about and even more. Happy to send it to them for free. And you can join the webinar that we do every month. If people need help, we're continuing to try to find what we think they need help with right now. Last month was, how do you go remote? This month it's going to be, now that you're remote, how do you actually lead? And we're going to talk about listening. So.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Chris. I learned a lot, and I'm excited to share this information with everybody and try some of the programs that you talked about. I think those are very helpful. And sometimes I think when we find ourselves in uncertain times, what we need most is tools. We need somebody else has been there, done that. And instead of trying to reinvent the wheel ourselves, look to the people like yourself who have already pioneered these areas, whatever the area might be, and learn. And I think that that will make all of our lives a lot easier. So again, thank you so much, Chris, for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much to everybody who's tuned in today, whether you're listening now or in the future. Please feel free to share this episode. Again, it will be available for download shortly after we wrap up the show on the latalkradio.com website on the Get Yourself the Job page. At the bottom of that page, you'll find an archive with this show as well as all of the prior other shows. And later in the week, you'll also be able to find the show on iTunes under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. If you want to check it out, I do invite everybody. We launched Win for Global Unity today. One of the things that is a passion project of mine when I'm not doing this show and the other work that I do is helping to bring people together. Obviously, the times we find ourselves in are unprecedented. And an idea that came to me about 3 weeks ago is, what if we could create a coalition of world leaders who come together every Monday at noon Pacific time and facilitate a meditation? And one of our coalition members, actually Deepak Chopra, did a different meditation yesterday and broke the internet. I think he had a million people try to simultaneously sign in. So if you want to get information on these weekly meditations that are happening, you can go to our website, coalition4globalunity.com. And you'll find a list of all of our upcoming teachers. Today we had Susie Lula. Next week we have Sister Jenna. Coming up we have Roland McCready from HeartMath Institute, really incredible human being, and so many other wonderful leaders and thought leaders who have joined us from around the world. So every Monday for 52 weeks at noon Pacific time on awaketvnetwork.live, you can tune in for free from anywhere in the world. So come together, let's all get past this. And now, for however long we do need to work remotely, we will at least have tools and resources to do so. So wishing everybody safe health and wellness to you and your family, wherever in the world you are. And thanks so much for tuning in.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.